The topic for tonight's shiur is going to be a discussion about a mokom tefillah. And in discussing a mokom tefillah, a place for davening, there's a lot of interesting related items that come up. The main source that we're going to use for quoting from tonight is the Chayyodom in the chapter Klal Yud Zayin, chapter 17. The Torah says that as far as a place for davening, besides many other items related to davening, the place that a person davens in definitely makes a big difference. Meaning, for starters, we know that there certainly is a difference between davening at home versus davening in shul. And one of the main sources for this that not too many people are aware of that applies specifically to women is based on an incident that took place in the Navi that the Zohar HaKadosh points out. One of the outstanding incidents in the life of Elisha HaNavi was where he met an Isha HaShunamis, an Isha from Shunam, and the Navi tells a whole story that took place whereby he showed her a miracle. And the Navi says that at one point they said that he was Ish Kodesh, they recognized that he was a tremendous tzaddik, and they showed him tremendous respect. And Elisha HaNavi said to this woman, "Is there anything I could possibly do for you?" And he said to her, "Is there possibly a bakosha to present to the king that possibly I could present for you that would be of help?" This is the wording in the Navi. Obviously, what he was referring to was, could I act on your behalf as far as speaking to Hashem, to present a bakosha for you to Hashem? And the Navi says that her answer was, it's not necessary, because b'soich ami onoich yoshevis. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that what she meant, literally what it means is, because I live among my people. Rashi says this means she was saying that she has relatives and she has friends so that she's taken care of. She's not in need of anything. The Zohar HaKadosh says that what she meant to say by was she was answering his specific question. His question was, can I speak to the king on your behalf? Could I be mispalel for you to Hashem? Her answer was, it's not necessary because I am makbid to daven with a minyan. B'soch ami onochi yoshevis means, even though I'm a woman and I don't necessarily have the same chiyuv as a man, there's no question about it that as far as technical halacha, as far as a woman being required to daven with a minyan, is it the same as a man? Definitely not. As far as what comes out of it when a woman is zecha to go to shul, especially on Shabbos or whenever she has an opportunity to daven with a minyan, the Zohar HaKadosh says, we see here clearly that this woman said, because I am makbid to daven together with a tzibur, I know that my tefillos are definitely accepted. Because the Gemara does say that when a person davens alone, b'yichidus, the tefillah is examined before it's placed before Hashem. The person is examined. Every single time a person presents a bakosha to Hashem, the first thing they want to know is who's asking. And this person that's asking, let's look at their record. Let's see if it's somebody that we have an interest in or we don't have an interest in. Let's see if it's somebody that we have an outstanding cheshbon with or not. Whereas the Gemara says that if a tzibur is davening, that tefillah is not examined at all whatsoever. The nachas that Hashem gets from an achdus between 10 yidden, 10 male yidden united in davening, that's something that gives that tefillah a blank ticket to go up. So this is a mokor in the Torah. There are women that might say, well, davening with a minyan has nothing to do with women. This is one of the sources where we see clearly that there is a chashivus even to women davening with a minyan. Now the question is, in terms of what type of shul a person goes to, does that matter? Does it matter if it's this shul or that shul? Could there be a difference? It's interesting that the Gemara quotes a pasuk where the pasuk says, "Ohev Hashem Sha'arei Tzion Mikol Mishkanos Yaakov." Hashem loves the gates of Tzion, the gates of Yerushalayim, more so than all the other dwelling places of Yaakov. This is the pasuk poshut in Tehillim. The Gemara makes a very interesting drasha on this pasuk. What is Mishkanos Yaakov? A Mishkan is like a shul. Mishkanos Yaakov refers to a Beis HaKnesses. Beis HaKnesses is the Hebrew wording for a shul, period. There's a Beis Knesses and there's a Beis HaMedrash. A Beis HaMedrash, Miloshin Drush, a place where there are drushos, where they learn Torah. The Gemara says there's no comparison whatsoever between a Jew that's zeicha to daven in a place that's also used for learning versus davening in a place that's only a makom tefillah, that Hashem loves much more a tefillah that comes from a shul that's also used as a makom Torah than a tefillah that comes from a shul that's only used for davening. Even if the Beis HaKnesses has more people, let's say you have a Beis HaKnesses where there are 300 people davening, 500 people davening, and we know that in the Torah there is a concept of Baroiv Om Hadras Melech, that there is definitely a greater respect to Hashem when there's 50 people davening together than when there's 11 people davening together. But still, the Shulchan Aruch says that the type of respect and love that Hashem has for Torah is such that if Yidden are davening in a place that's also used for Shiurim and Torah, that makes the davening much more special. That makes tefillahs coming from such a shul much more special. There's another important item mentioned, that if there are two shuls that a person has a choice of davening in, and both are equal in terms of frumkeit, a person should prefer to go to the further one because of schar psiyos, because Hashem considers it a nachas in seeing that a yid is willing to walk extra steps, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, to go to shul, to daven, period. This is a hischaskus. Now we find ourselves in a situation that we have a shul in a miklat, those that live in this building, and it's very close by. And here we're contemplating the thought of building a shul that's going to be 10 minutes away, 15 minutes away. The Torah says clearly, what are we in this for? We're in this for Olam Haba. We're in this to give Hashem nachas. Hashem says that He definitely has more nachas from a person that makes this extra effort, these psiyos, than a person that doesn't. There is a clear statement in the Gemara that a person who has an opportunity to go to a shul and doesn't is considered a shochein ra, a bad neighbor, chas v'shalom. Meaning that Hashem says a shul is considered my home. When two yidden live b'shechenus with each other, if Hashem worked it out that two people are living in the same building or next door to each other, the Torah says it's to be assumed that they're supposed to be visiting each other. They're supposed to be looking in on each other. They're supposed to be making phone calls to each other. They're supposed to show an interest in each other. And if a person doesn't, so there are times that we say, if you're not doing anything, you're not doing any harm. Here the Torah says very clearly that if a person has a shul nearby and they abstain from going, they don't take the opportunity to go, chas v'shalom, Hashem says that person is considered a bad neighbor. U'mitzvah lorutz kishoheilech lebeis haknesses oy l'shar mitzvah. There's, again, a special nachas that Hashem gets when a person shows an excitement about going shul. Here again, a person's going already. I'm going, I'm doing the mitzvah, I'm walking already. What could be wrong or what could be better? The answer is there's a difference between the attitude that a person has when they go to do a mitzvah. One person goes with a tremendous simcha and with a zrizus. We know that when a person is going to see something that they can enjoy very much, for one person it's a wedding, a chasana, for one person it's something else, if they're going to see an event that's really something special, they're going to be rushing to get there early, and they're going to be rushing to get there, period, because of the excitement. Hashem says a yid that believes in Hashem and believes in what a zechus it is to go to a Beis Knesses, to go to a shul to daven, should be showing that excitement to run to it. The Shulchan Aruch does say, though, clearly, that, however, in a shul itself, it's forbidden to run. It's osur to run in a shul. And again, this is a responsibility for parents to know for themselves, and certainly to pass on to children, that there is a derech eretz in a shul. We're going to learn a lot of items that relate to the derech eretz that's supposed to be in a shul. One of the items that's listed in terms of kovod for a shul is that there's no such thing as running. inside a shul. You're walking, the king is present, kaviyochel, Hashem's presence is supposed to be much more felt in a shul than in your own home. So certain things at your own house aren't forbidden, even though there are mezuzahs there are sforim there, still the presence of the Shekhinah is considered more special in a shul to an extent that we're forbidden to do certain things. Now, this next paragraph is one of the most important points that we wanted to bring out, where the Shulchan Aruch says that even though it's a very big mitzvah for a person to daven in a shul, if by going to shul a person will be nichshal in speaking dvorim betelim or leitzonus or kiyotzeboi, or the person will not be able to hear the leining, or they won't be able to hear the baal tefillah who's davening, it's better for the person to daven at home with a minyan, at home with 10 people in their own house, than to go to such a shul. Now, interesting, there are a lot of people that many times quote things that they heard or that they read, and they leave out one or two words here or there, and it changes the whole picture. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say daven at home, rather than going, in other words, some people say there's too much noise in the shul, so I'll daven at home, period. That's not what it says. It says that if there is a bilbul, if, rachmona litzlan, a person lives in a neighborhood or in a place where the people that go to shul are not frum, are not really frum, and they don't know the type of behavior that's required in a shul, and because of that they don't behave properly, then a person is permitted to try to assemble a minyan in their own house or somewhere else. This is talking about a man for sure, although again, these things apply, we have to try to relate in what way it applies to women and to what extent. First, we're establishing the yesodos, in other words, the foundation, to understand the principles and how this works. The Shulchan Aruch here quotes the Zohar HaKodesh with words that are very, very serious, where it says, Hasoch beveis hakneses divrei chulin, a person who, while in the shul, speaks divrei chulin. Divrei chulin doesn't mean lashon hara. It means not items pertaining to kedusha. Oiloi, woe is to that person. Chas v'shalom. Excuse me. This definitely applies to anybody. That anybody in a shul, while you're in a shul, again, we're supposed to be conscious of where we are. That there are certain things that I am permitted to speak about in my own home. This is not my house. This is the house of Hashem. It's got different laws, different rules. Where Dvorim B'Telem are forbidden, and the Zohar HaKadosh actually lists curses, chas v'shalom, that a person doing that shows that they don't believe that there's a Hashem, they don't believe that Hashem is there, they're not afraid of Hashem, they're insulting Hashem. These are the kind of words that are used about a person speaking dvorim betelim in shul. Now, what's called dvorim betelim? It means anything that doesn't relate clearly to a mitzvah. For example, if a person would want to say, how much did that thing cost? How much did this food item or dress or something cost? That question a Jew is not permitted to ask in shul. The Gemara says, and this Rebbe Zal mentions clearly on his halacha tapes, that the only kind of financial discussion that's allowed in a shul is pertaining to cheshbonos of tzedakah. Somebody's discussing a cheshbon of tzedakah for a shul, for a yeshiva, something like that, you're allowed to. Other than that, it's clearly forbidden. It's not allowed. Or if a person is discussing an item of mitzvah, permissible, forbidden. Other than that, definitely forbidden. The Shulchan Aruch does mention the fact that it is a very big zechus to maintain the cleanliness in a shul, lechabdon ularavtzon, to clean it, to wash it, to make sure again that the shul would always have to be at least as clean as the cleanest part of my own house. There's no way in the world that I would consider allowing. And again, whose responsibility is that? The answer is any person that feels part of a shul. There's no question. The shul doesn't belong to any individual. The people that are mispalah there, each one is an owner, a balabayas. Each one is responsible in terms of whatever improvements could be done. As far as going into a shul even, to show you the seriousness in terms of the attitude of the Torah, a person is not allowed to walk into a shul for any purpose, into a Beis Knesset or Beis Medrash, other than for the purpose of davening or learning. Period. If not, you're not allowed to go into a shul. Now the question is, what if there's an emergency? What if somebody is in the shul and I need them for something? I'm not davening, they're in the shul, they're davening. I have to call somebody out or I have to ask them a question. Can I walk into the shul just to call somebody? The answer is definitely not. What a person's supposed to do in such a case is, they must say a kapitel of Tehillim or a pasuk. Again, this is something to make us conscious that there's no such thing as walking into shul, walking into a shul, and walking back out without having added some Torah or tefillah to that place. Other than that, not possible. Now the question is, certainly one item that's brought is, if going through the shul means a shortcut in getting from one place to the other, that's something that a person is definitely not allowed to do. In other words, to go in from one side of a shul and come out the other side to shorten their path. Again, if a person has to do it due to circumstances, the only way that they could is by sitting down in the shul for a minute and saying a kapitel of Tehillim or learning something, because that's the only way that a person would be allowed to enter a shul. The answer is, when we use the word shul, we mean the actual room that's used for davening, and the room in which the Sifrei Torah are, that's the room we're talking about. I believe what you're referring to is a building. A building in which a shul is definitely has different halachas. Although, it certainly would be advisable when going into such a building that if there is the opportunity to go in and say a kapitel of Tehillim or something like that, it certainly would be a good thing to do. But a person is definitely allowed to go into such a building if they have to use the facilities or something like that. The question is, a delivery of food to a shul. Let's say there's sodas, drinks, food used in Kiddushim. Can a person walk into the shul to put down a box of soda and walk out? The answer is, the second you walk into a shul, suddenly there's a light flashing of Hashem's presence in that shul, that I can't walk into this place and walk out without a Dovar Shebik Dusha, without a sentence of Tehillim or a kapit. For a man, it's a kapitel of Tehillim. If you see Talmidei Chachamim, if you see people that know Halacha, ever walking into a shul, if any quick thing, you'll see they sit down on a bench quickly, say a kapitel of Tehillim, then get up and do what they have to do. The answer is, it would be a good idea. I hear the question being asked. Honestly, I myself didn't think of this, but I would say it certainly is a good idea. Here again, maybe the setting up for the Sheva Brachas in that case is considered part of the Sheva Brachas, in which there will be a shir, and the Dvar Torah is covering for it. If a person could remember, it certainly would be a healthy thing to say a kapitel of Tehillim or something like that.
Well, also with different forms, like at the Sheva Brachas, I mean, you're going to speak about Kedusha. You're not supposed to speak about anything.
The answer is, it seems that this might have been an oversight on the part of people. This might have been an oversight in not realizing that there is definitely a clear halacha regarding what should or should not be spoken about in shul. Now, I would say that to a certain degree, there is a difference between men and women, to a degree, but that's not to say that women have a heter to speak about anything they want. It certainly would be healthy, and I'm sure it would avoid a lot of all kinds of mistakes, if even women were conscious in a shul that to limit what topics they're talking about. Maybe it would afford the women an opportunity to do constructive things, to find out either items related to halacha, or to plan projects that are dvorim shebik dusha, whatever it is, whether it relates to the shul, to the neighborhood, to the city, to their children. Why not? If this is a time when we're getting together and it happens to be right under Hashem's nose, who would want to be discussing things that don't apply to Hashem? Kaviyochel, it's as if you're saying, we're going to make believe Hashem's not here and we're going to talk about that. Talking about this implies that Hashem is not here. Chas v'shalom. And that's a contradiction. Because the Torah says that Hashem's presence in a shul demands that people limit their speech to Dvorim Shebikdusha.
If you are not to be in the shul, and and it's nothing to do with Dibrei Torah. Are we permissible to cover the Aron Kodesh in a way of saying we're not maybe Mevushet to the Aron Kodesh itself?
There are people that do that. There are shuls that have, for example, they use the room that's used as a shul, they use it for a simcha also. And in that case, it's brought that in some cases, they turn around the Aron Kodesh completely. In other words, they try to cover or to remove the Aron Kodesh from there, thereby removing some of the Kedusha of the shul. However, that's for a certain level of frumkeit. That's for a Jewish center type of environment. I believe that people of our type, it certainly would be healthy to avoid doing that, so that a meeting that doesn't relate to Dvorim Shebikdusha could not be held in a shul. There's no question about it.
I have a temporary shul. At the shul we have in Malachi.
Yes.
It was there, just there for Shabbos, but I'm not sure if they still have the same color there during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And rather that they disarranged the shul, wasn't the shul anymore, but they might have had this if the Torah.
There definitely are differences between, in terms of how the shul is established. For example, the Shulchan Aruch says that an aliyah, an attic, or a second floor on top of a shul also has halachas as to what you're allowed to do there, what you're not allowed to do there. Unless, the Gemara says, unless, if when they built it, they said clearly that they're doing this, they're building this shul below with the intent of using the floor above for a dwelling, for somebody to live in or something like that, in such a case it becomes permissible, although the Shulchan Aruch does quote, even in such a case, certain poskim that were very wary of it. The point I'm trying to make is that in a case like this, in a neighborhood like this, where due to a shortage of shuls currently, they've been forced to do something a little bit improper and certainly not first choice, in making shuls within houses that are for dwellings, whether it be in a miklat or certainly in a lobby, there's no question at all that when the shul is being put there, it's with an understanding that it's not chas v'shalom to create problems for the people that are living there. So that it's not that as a result of that, at a time when it's not being used for a shul, let's say during the week, when it's known that the minyan doesn't gather there or that kind of thing, for a person to walk through that area, they would definitely not be required to say tilim or something like that. We're talking about a fixed shul, a place that is a fixed shul, that is kavua. For example, the miklat here, we know that all the residents in the building have agreed that this place is designated as shul, period, not as lobby. That's not to say that the agreement was with the people in the building that for 6 months they've committed to that. At the end of 6 months, they have the option to review it and to say they don't want it anymore, in which case it definitely would give up its kiddusha as a Beis HaKnesses.
And if Chas V'Shalom had to be used as a,
most definitely. Again, because that was the kavona when it was established as a Beis Knesses, that this is a miklat which has certain laws based on the Dina de Malchusa Dina, based on the law here, temporarily everybody is in agreement that it can be used for this purpose. Chas v'shalom, a pikuach nefesh certainly is an overriding factor. If possible, let's just continue. There's a little bit more that I want to cover, and then we'll definitely leave it open for other items. An interesting point that some people bring up because they're not aware of one of the differences. The question is, what's this business about having a kiddush in a shul? A kiddush certainly seems like something that's not respectful, where you're sitting down and having a party, eating a meal in a shul. That somehow seems to be a contradiction. And it's very important to know what Hashem says about this. What does the Torah say about this? And here the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch explain what the rules are. And here again we have to know what's Beis HaKnesses, what's Beis HaMedrash. A Beis HaKnesses is a shul only, a place used for tefillah only. A Beis HaMedrash is a place where people come to learn regularly, bikvius, regularly. The Torah says that in a Beis HaKnesses, it's forbidden to eat there, it's forbidden to drink there, it's forbidden to take any type of nap there, even a 15-minute nap, a 10-minute nap, is usur 100% in a Beis HaKnesses. Except if it's for the shul itself, for example, on Yom Kippur night, there are those people who are noyig to stay in shul over the entire Yom Kippur. They don't even want to go home. So they stay, they daven late Maariv, and they learn a little bit afterwards, and they go to sleep for a couple of hours, and then they wake up and stay the whole rest of the day in the shul. In such a case, we could permit them. But other than that, or oy le mitzvah acheres, or for another important mitzvah, again, being a significant suda, a bris milah, a suda of a bris milah, or something like that, something that's clearly a mitzvah, would be permissible. Other than that, forbidden. However, a Beis HaMedrash, now here again, we said on one hand the Beis HaMedrash seems to be much, much more kiddusha than a Beis HaKnesses, because we said if a person has a choice of where to daven, a Beis Knesses or a Beis Medrash is much better because it's the Torah learning there that Hashem respects and loves so much and makes the tefillah so much more powerful. And yet in this case, there's a curveball, there's a difference, where the Torah says that if it's a Beis HaMedrash, the people that learn there regularly, those people that are zeicha to have shiurim in the Beis HaMedrash regularly, they are permitted to eat there, to drink there, to sleep there, even a shinas keva, even a 5-hour nap, they're allowed to do it. Shelo yizbatlu milimudon, because anything that's going to give support to their learning, if these people were zeicha to have a Rebbe who established a minhag for them on a Shabbos morning, that they have a kiddush in shul. Why do they have a kiddush? Because they're all starving and they can't wait to bite into some cake? Chas v'shalom. The reason why that was established in our shul was to allow the men to be able, the men or the women, to be able to get together after and spend an hour or so learning Torah after davening. We know that on Shabbos there's an isur to fast, and there's no mitzvah at all to procrastinate, to delay when you're eating Shabbos morning. So therefore, at the Shulchan Aruch clearly talks about those shuls that have chazonim, that stretch out the davening till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, that is definitely wrong on a Shabbos, because on Shabbos it's a mitzvah to eat at a time when people aren't starving and aren't desperate. So therefore, a minig was instituted to have a kiddush, so that people's hunger is satisfied, and they can sit down comfortably, relaxed, and learn for a half hour, for an hour, that kind of thing. That kind of eating, or drinking, or a suda shlishis, or any kind of suda mitzvah, these people who are showing that they don't only use a shul for davening, but they use it as a place that they live in, anytime they have an opportunity to learn, bikvias, they try to do it in the shul, they are given this privilege. They are privileged that the shul is given a certain status like their home, that they are allowed to eat there, they are allowed to drink there, and this is what definitely allows us to have kiddushim, shalashudas, or those types of meals, those types of gatherings in the shul. One other important item, again, to show you a certain consciousness in a shul. The Shulchan Aruch says, Ein lenashek bonov haktanim bohem. It's forbidden for a person to kiss a child in shul. Why? She'enoi roi laharois shom ahava acheres zulas ahava samokim. Because in a shul, it's forbidden to show love for anything else other than Hashem. That's a very powerful statement. Where the Torah is saying in a shul, you're supposed to be conscious. Any move, picture, this is such a quick thing. A person sees a child do something cute in shul, or say a kiss, it takes a half a second. What could be so terrible? It's insulting to Hashem in a shul. In your own house, there's nothing wrong whatsoever. A shul has a different set of rules completely. Where doing that is considered kaviyochel. You're supposed to picture Hashem standing right there, and kaviyochel Hashem is jealous in a holy way of a person showing love for anything other than Hashem, the Sefer Torah, Sforim, Kedusha in a shul.